This Sunday, we are focusing once again on Advent. We just lit the peace candle, and in previous weeks, we lit the hope and joy and love candle. And last week, we talked about hope and love. This week, we're talking about joy and peace. And we talked about it in perspective of the fact that we are waiting for the King, that the King is coming as a baby, and that we are reflecting on preparing our hearts to understand that Jesus came to this earth. That's what we celebrate at Easter or at Christmas. But also, at the same time, we need to remember that Jesus is the soon returning King. That Jesus isn't just baby Jesus, that we don't pack away all our Christmas decorations after Christmas is done. Boxing Day, we don't box it up. By the way, Boxing Day was actually nothing to do with boxing up your Christmas decorations. It was about the people who had servants in their house, and they were blessed by their servants. And so on Boxing Day, they would give them the day off, and they would give them presents, and they would give them a box, because I guess they didn't have bags back then to put their presents in. So they give them a box full of treats, and that would go home to their family, and then they could celebrate Christmas on Boxing Day. And so that's what Boxing Day is all about. But here today, we don't want to put away what God is showing us and teaching us, because these are things that we are to live and practice in our hearts all year long. All year long, we are to continue to have these virtues of hope and love and joy and peace, and we are to grow in them and continue in them. So last week, I challenged you how you can grow in hope and love through the living Word of God, through Scripture, as you commit to reading Scripture every single day, as you commit to memorizing, as we're going to do, Romans chapter 8 together as a church, that you would grow in your love for each other, that you would grow in a deep sense of hope that would be an anchor, anchored to Jesus Christ through His Word. And today I want to challenge you in the area of joy and peace. You see, Jesus came to Bethlehem. Here's another word that we oftentimes hear these names, and we know it's still a place today. It's still, you know, these are real events that happened in a real place at a real in real time. And these aren't things, these aren't myths or fairy tales. These aren't stories to try to give us hope and peace and love and joy, but rather these are rooted in history. This is what God really did. Jesus came to a place called Bethlehem. And it's beautiful because God chose that place for a purpose, and He named that place in advance. It is called Beit Lechem, the house of bread. You see, the bread of life came to the house of bread. And I love that. That Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And when He came as a baby, He came to a place called the house of bread. And when we come to Jesus Christ, we come to the bread of life Himself. And what an amazing thing for the angels. Can you imagine the angels who witnessed Jesus at the beginning of time speaking forth creation and all things being held together by the power of His Word? And now these angels are watching again as the Word of God, the King of all kings, becomes flesh, as the Word becomes a baby who is speechless, a baby who cannot yet say or speak words. And so the first point is that there is joy in the Word. Just like there's joy in Christmas, there's joy in the lights and the family gatherings, there's joy in the traditions. Many of you have different traditions. We won't see many of you tonight. We'll see other ones who don't necessarily have a Christmas Eve tradition, but there's traditions that you have. And these traditions can bring you joy, and just in a way that is exponentially greater. The Word of God throughout the whole entire year can bring you that Christmas Word made flesh joy in your life. The Word of God has the ability to continue throughout the year to give you that joy. You see, the shepherds were invited to Bethlehem. They were invited. It was an invitation to joy. It's an invitation to experience the One who can give us true joy that is not based on circumstances. You see, joy in the Bible context is deep. It is enduring, and it transcends all circumstances. You've probably heard this before, but when we talk about happiness and use the word happy, that word actually just finally evolved in the 14th century to come to give this state in which it's somehow related to joy. But the root of the word is circumstances. The root of the word is happenstance. It is luck. And if things turn out good for you, if your state is okay, if you're in a good state, then you're happy. But here we're given a different picture. We're talking about joy that transcends all states. This is why Paul says in Philippians that I know, he says, whatever state I am, I have learned to be content. He says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. He says he's learned to be content. He's learned to be happy and realizing that it's not attached to his circumstances. Just like Tara Lee Cobble, many of you listened to her every day last year as we were going through our 365 Bible reading plan. Every day she speaks to us. Hey, Bible reader, she says. And then at the end, she says that he is where the joy is. Jesus is where the joy is. And so the shepherds were invited to enter into their joy, to meet the person of Jesus Christ, who will give them joy that no matter how things go, when they return home to their family, if things aren't good, if their household is crazy and there's a sheep loose in the house, it doesn't matter because they have met the King who has given them an inner joy, the King who has changed their life forever. Jesus is our ultimate source of joy. That's why he says in John 15:11, that these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. He wants to give you fullness of joy. And you see, the word of God, because Jesus, being that he came to the house of bread, because he is the bread of life, because he is the word of God, Jesus speaks to you through God's word. This is how Jesus has conversations with you. And therefore, every time you come to him, you are meeting with the bread of life. You are taking in the bread of life. And Jesus says, then my joy will be in you and your joy will be full. Jesus wants to give you fullness of joy. And yet, I find that every year, there are many Christians who never have a plan to say, I'm going to spend time daily in God's word. It's like, I'm not going to have a plan to spend time daily seeking out joy. I'm not going to have a plan daily to go to the bread of life, to myself, go to Bethlehem and see the King. I don't think that I have enough time in my day to seek out the King. It doesn't make any sense when you're looking at it from this perspective, but somehow it seems to make sense when your busy schedule comes at you, doesn't it? When your busyness comes at you and you're just like, tomorrow. Oh, Sunday's going to come around. Wes will preach a scripture. I'll get my scripture in on Sunday. And I want to challenge you that every day you can experience joy through the word of God. And as I look out here, I see all of these faces of people that I have spent the last year, every single day of the year, reading God's word with. I've heard your comments. You've shared things with me by text or within this Bible app that we use together. Or you've talked to me about how God has brought you joy and peace and hope and love that the King has revealed himself to you this year. This is your source. But we need to seek him daily. And the other beautiful thing is that when you seek and follow God in looking at his word and reading his word, what happens to you is that it builds a sense of community as a church. Here is what we have together. We have one mind, one spirit. There's one baptism, one God and Father who is over all, in you all, and through you all. And it is through his word that he builds this sense of community within his church. The second point is that he brings peace in this world. And many of you try to seek peace and you try to find a place of peace. You try to build something in your house, you add on another room, but it always seems like confusion and chaos finds its way to you, doesn't it? You know, some of you have no choice. You're in a small house and it's like, peace will never find me. I'll never find peace. Some of you can relate to my way home one day from a Christmas event at our church where I was driving in the car and the kids were screaming. We had one child that when you buckled him into, or her, I forget which one it was, but when you buckled this child into their car seat, the demons came out and they screamed steady for the whole trip until they got home. They did this just for about a year until they realized there's no way they're going to get out. And other than that, our kids were excellent travelers. I had nothing to complain about. But we were in this phase where that child was screaming, which made the other children upset, and they're mad, and they're screaming, and they're fighting. And it's just so loud and so intense, and I'm so stressed out. And my foot's getting heavier and heavier because I want to get to peace. Peace is the destination. I want to get to peace. And I'm doing about 120 when I pass a hidden cop. And the moment I pass him, I was just like, oh, I'm done. And I said to Angie, you know what? I don't care. At this point, if that cop pulls me over, I'm going to step out of the vehicle, put my hands together and say, officer, arrest me, take me in. I need peace. You know, you sit in there and then you try to tell me you wouldn't speed. It was bad. He didn't pull me over. I got no peace. I had to drive the other 5 minutes all the way home. We took the kids in the house. But sometimes, do you feel like life is like that? It's just like, I just want peace. Well, here we find that Jesus calls himself the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6, we're going to look at that tonight. Paul tells us in Romans 5:1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, peace begins with God. That's the only way you can have true peace. You can manufacture peace. You can give yourself a little bit of sanity here and there. But if you want true, deep, enduring peace, you need to have peace with God. And until your heart is right with God, and it only can be right through the person of Jesus Christ, that is how God has ordained peace for your life. Jesus himself brings peace. And until that peace is had to be had, you will have no true and lasting peace. Just like we spoke a blessing over baby Asher this morning, Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, spoke a blessing over his son. Here's the words he said in chapter 1, verse 76, is recorded by Dr. Luke. He says, and you, child, he's talking about John the Baptist, he says, you will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us. Don't you love that? Jesus is the day spring from on high. He's the light bringer. He brings light into the world. He says, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You see, Jesus, his birthday was an invitation to peace. It was an invitation to experience true peace, lasting peace. You see here, he says, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You see, peace for us is not a destination that we try to get to at different times during the year. But when you come to Jesus, you are now at peace. Peace with God. At peace with the people of God. At peace with every circumstance in life. I've heard some powerful testimonies lately. I've heard powerful testimonies by some of the Kingsway members who are facing cancer and very difficult situations, and I listened online, and I just am so amazed at how the peace of God can give them so much confidence in a time where many people would be at a loss and you know, turn in anger towards God. They look and they realize, you know what, God, you have given me this life, and even no matter what happens, I trust in you, and if it means being with you, Jesus, I'm good with that. And having such confidence, how can they have such peace? It's because they have come to the Prince of Peace, the one who can give them a peace that's because their circumstances are not good. Their circumstances are very difficult. But the peace of God transcends all human circumstances. And this is the peace that they have experienced. You see, it's called, in the Bible, it's called shalom. It's a peace that doesn't mean just the end of a war. We talk about peace as being when there's no more war. It is a peace that can exist in the midst of war. It's a peace that can exist in the midst of conflict. It can be on the battlefield where God allows somebody to continue to trust him and walk in peace in a time where there's turmoil and pain and difficulty all around them. God can give that kind of peace. You see, the world does not have this peace. This is why Paul says in Romans 3:16, he says, destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace they have not known. That's the world. They don't know peace. Where it says in Jesus says in John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, but listen to this, not as the world gives you. You see, the world thinks that they know peace. They know serenity. They empty their mind, and they think that they have peace. They get in the pose. You know, I don't know what the pose is. They get in the pose. They do their stretches, and they empty their mind. That's Eastern meditation. But here, listen to what Jesus does. Jesus fills your mind with his truth. You don't have to empty your mind because, I mean, you don't have to empty all the problems out of your mind because you just need to bring in the answer. You just need to bring in the one who can give you hope and help you to love in situations where it's impossible to love. You just need to go to the one who can bring to you a hope and a peace that is able to transcend all those circumstances and situations. This is why he says in Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. You know, as we set our minds on Christ through scripture, and this is what I'm challenging you to do every day this year, finding a plan to read through God's word. You know, if you're visiting here today, no exemption for you. Find a plan to read through God's word every day. Download the Bible app, the free, most downloaded app in the history of apps, and grab a plan and have time in God's word every day so that he can give you his hope, his love, his joy, and his peace, that he can speak to you every day. And then as you fill your mind with the words of God and the truth of scripture, you will have a peace that is beyond your understanding. And God will speak to you. And as he does that, Isaiah's words come true. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You see, God's word brought peace in time of fear. Mark chapter 4, what a story. The disciples were on a boat with Jesus. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is sleeping. He's sleeping on a pillow, it says. He must have had a nice big pillow in the stern of the boat. He's under there. He's not getting wet. Disciples are fighting the storm, and they're thinking, we're going to die. This is it. It was a good run, Jesus, you and your disciples, but we're all going to drown, and thanks a lot, you're sleeping. So they wake up Jesus, and they say, Jesus, do you not care that we are perishing? Jesus arose, and he spoke. He rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the sea was still. And guess what? Jesus still speaks. He still speaks to the storms. He still speaks to that raging sea in your heart, to that thing that you're upset about or worried about, and you don't know how on earth you are going to be able to deal with this situation, how you're going to overcome. And God wants you to open his word, and the Prince of Peace wants to speak to you. The King wants you to let him in. And he wants to speak life and hope to that situation. He wants to speak joy. He wants to speak peace. Some that are here today, you don't even know the Prince of Peace. You don't know him. You haven't put your trust in him. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And you might be here today and think, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a pretty good girl. I don't do things that my neighbors do. I'm not like those people. I'm at church today. I'm a good person. But Romans tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. They've all turned aside. You might look at your goodness in comparison to the world's goodness, but we need to look at our goodness in light of God's truth. In light of Jesus, the Savior, the perfect one. And then we need to look at it and say, well, we don't have to look at it and say, this is hopeless. I'll never be as good as I need to be. God will never accept me. We don't need to be without hope in the world because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus came and he died so that we could take his righteousness, his perfect life, the life that we are to have to be right with God. Jesus offers that to you and you can put your trust in him and say, Jesus, I receive your life and I want to follow after you. And so I want everybody to stand up together. I want to pray with you. And I'm not into thinking that you can just say, okay, I'm just say these couple words and now we're all good. No, accepting Jesus as your Savior means that you believe in your heart and you're saying, I'm going to turn from my life and I'm going to turn and follow after him. I'm going to live this walk of faith. I'm stepping out. I'm repenting. I'm changing. It can start with a prayer, and it should start with a prayer, but I tell you, it is a change of life. It is an exchange. You're saying, Jesus, I give you my life. I'm going to follow after you. I'm going to live this new life. I want the life. I want the life of Jesus Christ. And so let's pray to get today. Let's pray asking God to help us to have a plan to spend time Word, asking him to show us how to have this true hope and love and joy and peace that he has promised to us, that he guarantees us through his word, and to guide us in the truth of his scripture. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much today that your word is living and true. And I ask that you would speak to each heart today, that you would challenge us and move us. I thank you that this is going to be an amazing year as we look ahead and realize that Jesus, you came to give life and life more abundantly. You came to bring us truth. Jesus, you came as an infant to show us the humble way. And I thank you, Jesus, that you humbled yourself to the point of death, even the death of the cross, and that you are now high and exalted with a name that is above every name. And I ask that, Lord Jesus, as we come into these last few weeks in 2023, that you would challenge us and move us by your spirit, that those who do not know you today, that can say, today, Jesus, I decide to follow you. I turn from my sin. I turn from my way. I confess that, Jesus, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. And so I put my trust in you. And that a walk would begin where they pursue you and seek your truth through your word, that they would connect themselves with the body of Jesus Christ, and that they would experience the true joy that comes from knowing you, Lord Jesus. He is where the joy is. You are where the joy is, Jesus. And so glorify your name in this Christmas season as we remember what you've done for us. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.